Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Give us the joy of your saving help, and sustain us with your life-giving spirit. Blessed are you, Creator of all. To you be praise and glory forever. As your dawn renews the face of the earth, bringing light and life to all creation, may we rejoice in this day you have made. Blessed be God forever. As we wake, refreshed from the depths of sleep, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The first reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet." In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, What is humankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands.
You put everything under their feet.
All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. We bless you, Master of the heavens, for the wonderful order which enfolds this world. Grant that your whole creation may find fulfillment in the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 2. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery."
Okay.
People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. When I was looking at the readings for this week, I knew exactly which one I wanted to focus on. Psalm 8. It is the first praise psalm in the Psalter. And if one was to try and learn a psalm, I think this one, along with Psalm 23, would be top of my list. Psalm 8 is an unsurpassed example of what a hymn, a song of praise, should be. It celebrates God as creator and reminds us that we too are part of God's creation. It is a psalm full of joy and wonder and awe, a perfect psalm for harvest-tide. At the heart of Psalm 8 is a question: what are we? What is humankind? Or more specifically in the Hebrew, what is a single human being against God's magnificent creation? Against the backdrop of the heavens and the whole earth, the psalmist asks, "What am I?" I know there have been times in my life when I have looked up to the mountains or across a vast open landscape or over an empty sea, or watched anything by David Attenborough, when I have asked the same question: what am I against all of this? What value, significance, purpose, or merit does a human being have that God chooses to be mindful of her, that God can be bothered to care for him? How can we measure ourselves in relation to the enormity of the cosmos and all that surrounds us? The psalmist arrives at this question by staring up at the night sky. when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is humankind that you remember us, the Son of Man, that you are attentive to us? Like most of us who stare in wonder at a star-studded sky, the psalmist loses his sense of proportion as he stares at the heavenly wonders above his head. Even without the benefits of modern science, the psalmist realizes that using his own measurements and sense of scale is useless. He needs God to show him who and what he really is. As he looks at the night sky, the psalmist discovers two things which completely contradict each other. Firstly, human beings are laughably insignificant and tiny against God's grandeur. But secondly, we are also glorious. We are glorious because God has made us partners and caretakers of all that he has made. We are valuable because God says that we are. He is mindful of us. He cares for us. He trusts us. Under God's loving and attentive gaze, our place in creation is profoundly meaningful. He has given us work to do. He has given us a calling and a vocation that really, really matters. So how can we learn to live with this paradox, this contradiction, that we are both small and insignificant, yet also glorious and wonderful? I think this psalm can help us. Firstly, we can choose to begin and end with praise. The writer of Psalm 8 begins and ends his psalm with praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Praise is essential, not because God needs it, but because we do. We need to remember God's glory, his goodness, and his compassion. We need to remember that we are not in charge. God is. It is why singing hymns and worship songs of praise are so important. It puts our focus where it should be, on God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The psalmist begins and ends his poem by decentering himself and centering on God. God who is sovereign, God who is majestic, God who is creator of all. Then once we have praised God, then we can gaze and wonder and contemplate. When I consider, writes the psalmist. It takes time to consider, it takes time to gaze, and it takes time to contemplate. All too often, we just take a fleeting glance at things and move on. When we do that, we can be fooled into thinking that our own experiences, emotions, and opinions are the only ones worth noticing. When we consider, really, really consider the works of God, our sense of perspective shifts. When I look at the moon and the stars, hear the laughter and joy of children, see the abundance and variety of plants and flowers, my focus changes. It's good to feel tiny as you stand on the edge of the seashore, or fly above the clouds in an aircraft, or stand under a tree that has lived for hundreds of years before me and will live for hundreds of years after I've gone. It's good to remember that I am only on this earth for a fleeting moment of time, and that the things that seem enormous and insurmountable are tiny against God's loving, patient eternity. When we have spent time gazing and wondering, well, then we can take our place in God's good order. If half of our trouble lies in forgetting our smallness, the other half lies in forgetting our grandeur. We devalue human life so easily. We treat each other as insignificant and even expendable, We judge ourselves and other people. How often do we bask in what we actually are, the beloved creations of God? You made human beings a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned them with glory and honor, says the psalmist. Okay, so we are not God, but we are also far from nothing. We have a special place, a crowned place in God's created order. We have value, which has absolutely nothing to do with our own achievements and accomplishments. God has called us all because he loves us all and has bestowed honor on us all. To be crowned with such honor is God's gift to us, but with it comes responsibility. The psalmist says, "You have made human beings rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea." We human beings don't have a good track record when it comes to honoring our vocation as stewards and caretakers of creation. We have exchanged dominion for domination. We have exploited and impoverished the very places where God wanted us to cultivate and nourish. We've allowed ourselves to think that what we do is small and insignificant, whereas it's actually huge and catastrophic. We've forgotten that it is no small thing to be entrusted with dominion. We have been crowned with glory and honor, says the psalmist, but this is not for ourselves, but for the thriving and blessing of God's good and glorious creation. So what are we? What are we that God's mindfulness rests on us, that God cares for us with such intensity? So much depends on our answer. So much depends on our being able to hold in tension both our smallness and our bigness, our humility and our grandeur. May we find ways to cling to all of who we are so that God's name will be honored this harvest time and throughout our fleeting days. Amen. Amen.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we praise you for the many blessings you pour out on your creation. We pray that all who seek you may find you and, filled with your Holy Spirit, become a living temple acceptable to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We seek your blessing on the world, our nation, and all in positions of authority, on our homes and communities, on the lonely, the fearful, and the isolated, on our neighbours, families, and friends. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick and the suffering, especially those known to us, and those known to you alone, who we lift to you now, in a moment of silence. We pray for them and all who care for them. Jacques, Jen, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Morris, Ron, Gordon, Sally, Richard. We give you thanks for the lives of the recently departed and all those we remember with love and thanksgiving. Pam Lewinton, David Cox, Kat Hampton. May they rest in peace, and may your peace rest upon all who grieve, that they may know the hope, comfort, and love of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Loving God, we thank you that you have called us into the body of Christ together here today, and we praise you for all your good gifts to us. Help us to go out into the world, refreshed by your Spirit, and in the power of your love, to live for you through Christ our Lord. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And the collect for the 18th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that, forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to that which is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done, on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you, Guy.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping lead the service. Hope you have a very blessed day. Just a reminder that the coffee morning on Wednesday is at the Hartnell Hotel. This is a live in-person coffee morning. Everybody is very welcome to join us. It would be handy if we knew approximate numbers to make sure that the Hartnell has got the right number of cakes available. If you just want to turn up, then please do as well. And secondly, can I just draw your attention to the notice about Afghan families? There are refugee families arriving in Devon, I believe, next week. And we have been asked to collect good quality items of clothing for children or for adults. If you can get those to me, they will be shipped off to wherever on the 11th of October. So if you can either get those to me or let me know where we can collect them from. So if you could bring them to either the rectory or Justin Montague's vicarage in St. Andrew's Street. Justin, who is the curate at St. Paul's and St. George's, did a placement with us. And if you remember, he has served a tour of Afghanistan. So he's very keen to be doing this, and I'm sure we would like to be involved. But the deadline is the 11th of October. So either if you can get any items of clothing, children's or adults, to me or to Justin, or can let us know where you'd like them collected from, that would be great. I hope you all have a very good week. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Bye, everybody. God bless. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye,
Tilly.
Bye.
Bye-bye.